Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
So we're so excited about what the Lord is doing in His church, and today we're going to be talking about healing. As a matter of fact, if you haven't yet signed up, there's a limited space. It's going to be in a television studio, so space is very limited. You need to go and sign up for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. You go to VFNTV.com and you can do that. And we're already beginning to see God begin to move in His desired passion for us, because God wants to heal you. Jesus paid the price on the cross for not only for your sins, but He also paid for your deliverance and He paid for your healing. This is a powerful thing. We're going to be sharing some testimonies with you today to encourage you, to stir your faith up, to begin to believe God for everything that He says you'll do. You know, all things are possible with God. And we're beginning to see some pretty powerful things. And when you think about, I think about Art Thomas, and Art Thomas will be here with me on August the 28th through the 30th for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. And this is Art talking at a meeting, talking about testimonies. Because when you start hearing how God has done things and how He's touched other people's life, claim that for your own life. Begin to say, if He's done that in somebody else's life, He can do that in my life. As a matter of fact, we want to just start rapidly just kind of telling you a few testimonies real quick. Like, first of all, but this is how Art put it. I like the way he put it. Watch this.
Jesus told me this morning, He said, I want you to use testimony like war propaganda. Yeah, and He said, here's what I mean. Number one, it rallies the troops. Number two, it recruits new soldiers. And number three, it intimidates the heck out of the enemy. Yeah, war propaganda, buddy. I'm just telling what my God does. And here's the only difference between testimony and war propaganda. Testimony is all true.
That's so important, you know, not to embellish and just make things up or exaggerate. But know this, our God heals. He's a healing Lord. He's a forgiving God. Just like God forgives your sins. And so many Christians are quick to say, yes, you know, God forgave me, I'm forgiven. But you know what? Just like He forgave you, He will also heal you. Just take a look. Here's just a couple of miracles and healings that took place just this Sunday at the VFN Dream Center. Take a look.
I felt pain in my eye, and I always have from headaches before in this eye. And Amber prayed for me, and she said, be healed. And at the time, I was feeling the pulse in my eye.
Right.
Whenever you're fixing to get a headache and it's gone.
Praise God. Give the Lord a hand. Praise God.
Woo! My thumb, sometimes they call it trigger thumb, could be carpal tunnel, I don't know what, but right. For about 3 weeks, really painful right here. You know, you just do stuff like you usually do, and then it's just shooting pain. And Barbara just said a simple prayer, and there it is.
Praise God. Look at that. Look at this, guys. Isn't that awesome? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
During the movie.
Okay. Yes.
When the two young guys, they were being healed. One of them had the spine thing.
Right.
I just felt my back. I've had this soreness in this area right here in my spine for years.
Right.
I've never said anything about it. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden I just start feeling, something feels different. And I still feel it. Like something's going on there, like with your muscles. The pain's all gone.
Healing in Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand.
Healing, what took place?
During worship, since last night, I've been praying for God to heal my ear. I've been having, I don't know if it was an ear infection, but it was almost like contractions. It was so painful. Like just all of a sudden, I'd feel a stabbing in my ear. So during worship, I have felt this like really coldness go over my whole body and like a ball of something go through my ear, like, you know, through everything. And the pain went away.
So. Praise God. Awesome. Woo!
So I was working in the control room, and Isaiah and Christian came and prayed for me and asked me, you know, what I need to pray for. I said, well, my back hurts, but I got a shoulder problem. Mm-hmm. And they prayed for me, and God healed my shoulder.
What can you do that you couldn't do?
I can full motion with no pain.
Is it painful?
It used to be.
Not anymore?
Not anymore.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
For like 2-3 years, I haven't.
Yeah. Praise God.
Think about it. God heals like you breathe. God wants you healed. It's just he shows himself how his heart is towards you, towards whoever needs to be healed. Think about it. When Jesus was walking in his ministry, the word of God over and over again says he healed all. He healed all. He delivered all. He healed all the oppressed. He healed all the sick. Everybody that touched him was healed. What is his desire? His desire is to heal all. And I want to encourage you today. We're going to share some more testimonies of the power of God. And when you see all these dilemmas taking place in America right now, and you see people trying to think that the answer is political, and some other people are thinking you need to do this or do that, the answer is God. God is all powerful. He's God. He's holding all things together. He gave his son for us because he loves us so much. And not only do we have forgiveness through his son, but we have healing and we have deliverance through Jesus Christ. And when you think about that, think about this, that maybe you've been going through life and you're thinking you have to live with that thing or live with that oppression, or you're trying to, you know, go through therapy to try to figure out how to be a better person. You know, God can actually touch you in such a way, delivering you from Rome mindsets to be able to set you on a pathway that life becomes joyful. I mean, he created everything and he meant for you to enjoy what he created, and he wants to enjoy that with you in relationship. This is what God wants to, and he wants to use you. This is how powerful Jesus' name is. This is how much the Lord is into healing. Matthew chapter 7 tells us that many people in the last days are going to come up to him and say, Lord, Lord, did we not, you know, lay hands on the sick and they get well? Did we not cast out demons? People who didn't even believe, who weren't even Christians, were being used by God for healing. That's how, I mean, think about it. Is that absurd when you think about Christians are not believing that God heals, and you have people who think acting like they're a Christian, but they're not, but healing's taking place through their life. Why? Because there's power in the name of Jesus. I think about this. I mean, Jesus, when he was talking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who didn't understand that he was God, and they even called him, you know, Beelzebub or Satan at some particular point, they said, the reason why you actually have this power, you have this kingdom power, you have this ability to perform miracles or to cast out demons, he said, you do this by the power of Satan. And so he looks back at the Pharisees, you know, and this, I'm talking to Jesus like that, and he says, if I cast them out by Satan, who do you cast them out by? What does that mean? That means even the Pharisees who are walking against God had the ability to set people free because of God. God is the one. He's the giver of life. He's the one that sets people free. It's not about, you know, an individual, a man or a woman. It's about the man Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us, who paid a full price for your healing. If you haven't yet gone and signed up, make sure you sign up. We're going to be talking about signing up for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast, because we believe, and we're already beginning to see, that believers are beginning to believe and have faith in God for the fullness of who he is. We can be the church he called us to be, and understand when the kingdom of God is not about teaching, and it's not about words. It's about power. It's about power. It's about the presence of God. That when you come in the presence of believers, you don't have to ask them if they're Christians. There's something in their life called the presence of God that lets you know that these men or these women have walked with God. There's something that can happen in the context of you can be sick and they can pray for you and lay hands on you and you can be healed, and you have the opportunity, now that you've experienced the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God has come upon you, that you can actually make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. This is so exciting, because think about all these horizontal arguments and these religious statements that are going forth today about, you know, what does the church need to do? Well, we need to repent. We need to turn back to the Lord, and we need to do the things that he told us to do at first. Fall in love with him. Fall in love with the fellow believers and watch him as we lay hands on the sick and they recover, and celebrate the awesome things that God has for us. Our God heals
all diseases.
He heals all things. He delivers us from any and everything. Mm-hmm. And most often delivers us from ourselves, praise
yes.
God.
Thank you, Lord.
But he's a miracle. A miracle, when you think about a miracle, it's not, you know, this particular culture is into magic, you know, and imagery and green screens and things that made it look like it's not real. And I believe that's a strategy to cause many people to not see a miracle for a miracle that's automatically, oh, that's just the movies.
Right.
You know, that can happen. But there is things called authenticity, when you can actually be diagnosed with four stage breast cancer.
Yes.
You know, as we've seen, and somebody, a Christian, pray for them and ask God to heal them and speak healing. Mm. Didn't ask God, just spoke healing over that situation. And God healed a lady of fourth stage breast cancer.
Wow.
I mean, think about it. That's like the final
Oh, yeah.
That's the final, you know, goodbye stage mm-hmm. where God said, it's not goodbye for you. He healed that particular person. And I've seen God in so many different ways. And he'll maybe, you know, maybe that's you. You know, we just speak healing over you now in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. We just say, cancer, be gone and be healed in Jesus' name. But I think maybe you might be a wife, that somebody has, a doctor has spoken something over your womb that said that you can't have children. And God can heal that. He can heal that. As a matter of fact, very specifically, there was a lady that came to me, and she had all these diagnoses that, you know, having a child is not going to be possible for you, mm-hmm. right? Didn't she?
Yeah.
And I put my hand, I think probably had Donna put her hand on her, and I mm-hmm. put my hand on Donna's hand. And this is not me. This is God doing this. So what I'm telling you as a Christian, this is what Christ in you wants to do for others. So see yourself doing what I'm talking about. And just blessed her womb and spoke healing over her. And guess what? She's the proud mother today of how old is?
Well, two. They have two now.
Two children today. And yeah. And then God even spared her life in the context after having the child. The power of God to heal is just mm-hmm. an amazing thing. Also, the power of God to deliver. You know, we struggle in life, but quite often it has nothing to do with physical human beings or even sometimes ourselves. It could be a spiritual thing happening in the air. If we closed our eyes to what we actually see and saw what we don't see.
Yeah.
We would see some horrific, horrendous activity. If you have not yet read The Final Quest, a vision given to Rick Joyner, it was a powerful way to just kind of see what's really going on in the spiritual realm. But God's given us authority. The authority that Jesus Christ has, he gave it to us, and he sends us to take authority over principality, spiritual wickedness. And when we know who we are in Christ, and we are in right relationship with the Father, that we see ourselves as the sons that we are, moving in that authority, and we're listening to what he wants us to do in this particular, and we act on it, all of hell trembles, you know, when that's happening.
Absolutely. Jesus himself tells us in John 14, which is, you know, pretty remarkable and interesting, because many of us are familiar with the scripture, but he says, if anyone would have faith in me, anyone, then they will do what I've been doing. In fact,
greater things than these.
Even greater than these.
Right. Because I'm going to be with my Father.
And I delight to do the Father's will. So ask in my name, and it's done.
Yes.
And I think we've written that off for so long, or maybe just been familiar with the
scriptures. It's the answer.
He told us.
The answer is the power. The kingdom of God is a matter of power. Yeah. It's a matter of God's power moving and him getting glory and people having a fear about don't mess with God's folks. You know, some of the things that we've seen, you know, when you look at the New Testament and you read it, Ananias and Sapphira happened in the New Testament, in the New Covenant. The things that we've seen is taking place in the New Covenant. And it's just all, it's the same. But we've seen folks that intended to harm those that are the Lord's, the power of God defend that person without them even knowing that they were being defended. There's people that God can cause your heart to stop moving. I mean, he can take your enemy and just say, whoop, and all of a sudden they can't breathe, you know? Yeah. And that's some of the things that happened that we've seen in the context of that. And that's where people know, even if that happens to somebody, they realize, like, these men been with God. They've been with God. Mm. So if they can actually make a decision, I want to be with God.
That's right.
And they can be saved.
Right. That's right. I think about when I was in New Jersey, a young man who was on a skateboard on a very steep, steep hill, and I heard this report later that he was in the hospital. The neighbor actually came out and told him, you know, don't get on this, don't do it, don't let them bait you into going on this hill. He didn't listen, and he wound up being in a coma, smashed his head on the concrete as he was going down, and so he's in this coma, and we went up to pray for him and just believe that God was going to heal him. And just spoke healing over him within they weren't giving him any time to live at all.
Right.
And within just a few, you know, short days, he was actually up, speaking, talking. And I just remember how much it really blessed his parents to see that God heals. God,
yes, he
this
does.
Is desire. This is God's will that everyone is healed.
Yes.
And because Jesus healed you know, every person that came to him. And I think that we need to stop looking at our experiences, letting them dictate, you know, our theology, but let God's word dictate our, you know, experiences. And this is what God's word says. And Jesus is the perfect theology because he healed everybody.
Yes. And he said, as I was sent, now I send you. So you can actually look at Jesus' life and say, that's what he wants me to do. Granted, we're a work that's being perfected. Our faith is being perfected by Jesus Christ. The author of our faith is perfecting our faith, but you can grow in faith. And that can be your watermark. That can be your, you know, the place that you know that if I hadn't got there yet, I've still got plenty of places to go. I can trust God to begin to. And the reason why is he shows his goodness. I mean, how many people, John, right now are trying to think about an argument? And, you know, the people that experience the presence of God, the people of who, how's it goes? The people with an argument is the mercy of a man who's experienced
God. That's it. Because you can say what you want, but, you know, I was blind, but
now
I
see.
You know, so your argument is great, but it doesn't hold any water because you're at the mercy of what God has done for me, to me, and through me, and what he's done to the lives of so many others. And so, you know, Paul said, I didn't come up with persuasive words, but I came in the demonstration of the Spirit's power.
Right.
And that's the full gospel. It's the gospel message, repentance. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The blood of Jesus forgives us. And here's the power to be healed, to be set free, to be delivered, and for the devil to get off and out of someone that's, you know, being oppressed.
You know, this generation, they don't want to hear words. Mm-mm. They don't want to hear songs. They want to see God. They want to see the presence and the power of God. And at that point is when you're going to see a large harvest of this generation come in. But we have to be satisfied saying, you know what? If what we're doing is not producing the desired results for our Lord, we need to recheck ourselves and find out, you know what? I'm going to get back to the simplicity where people look at you and go, how could a simple fisherman be moving in this fullness of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And people begin to, you know, just like Art was talking about, you know, once God does one thing, you know, people get faith that God can touch them too. And when you share the testimony of what God did with them, then somebody else gets the faith and get stirred up. And it's like, it's amazing, you know, what happens when we just let God be God.
And naturally, when people get healed who don't know Jesus, it's pretty easy for them to want to accept them into their life. I think about what Daniel Kalinda said, the evangelist with Christ for the Nations ministry, with Reinhard Bonnke. He said it in Paid in Full movie, which is awesome. We highly recommend it.
Yes.
That
you can find it at bfntv.com.
Yes. That we've placed healing on such a high pinnacle as something to attain, you know, in my growth in spirituality, that many people don't even believe or even want to pray, or they pray prayers of comfort instead of prayers of declaration of healing. And the truth is that
Matthew 7 says someone who's not even a Christian can do
it.
Because it's the Jesus' name that brings the power. It's the
not
power.
Not the person.
Yes.
Right. It's what Jesus done.
Well, you think about the disciples in, I guess, Acts chapter 3, potentially, or 4, when they started looking at them, when they laid hand, they looked at the beggar, at the crippled beggar at the Gate Beautiful, and he's asking for money. He's not asking for healing. And they said, look at us. They said, we don't have money. We don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, so they had something called Christ in you, right? And they said, what we do have, we give it to you. And he's looking at them, he's expecting something. But was he expecting to walk? No. Was he expecting to be healed? No. But guess what? That means he wasn't saying, this guy didn't, like, I got the faith to be walking around.
Right.
I'm sure he was thinking, like, I'm about to score something in my cup here, right?
Yeah.
And at that moment, when they grabbed his arms, they pulled him up and took the action, you know, quite often that do what you couldn't do before. You saw when we were sharing some testimonies that just happened about, you know, what can you do now that you couldn't do before?
Yes.
At that moment, quite often, you'll find the fullness of that healing begins to take place and their faith, you know, rises, which means their focus on the Lord and what he's done. He gets his glory in that. And the man was healed and he started jumping around and because he's, and everybody knew this guy because he's hanging out at the Gate Beautiful, and all of a sudden people started looking at them as if Peter's, if they did this,
right?
And they said, why are you looking at us as if it was by our holiness and our righteousness that we did this? It's by the faith in the name and the power in the name of Jesus this was done.
Mm.
That's how powerful his name is. Yeah. And when you see folks going, you know, it was me, you know, it was me. Read my book. Hey, you have my book, you know, that type of thing. Versus this is what God's doing, I believe, in this generation. My personal viewpoint. He wants his church back.
Mm.
And his church is not buildings, it's not nonprofit statuses and all that kind of stuff. It's you if you're a believer. He loves you so much. He wants to commune with you. You commune with him. And he wants the fullness of who he is, just like in the garden when God intended that for Adam and Eve. He wants to just all the fullness of who he is to happen in your life and in the lives of those around you. He wants people to know that he loves them through you. That's what he wants to do. And when he gets his church back, all of a sudden they're free from all this religious dogma and things that say, you know, that everything the Bible says doesn't happen anymore. And somehow you're trying to grasp, well, why are we here? And statistically, they're falling more and more away.
Yeah.
One thing George Barna said in one of his books, not the book that we talked about in an earlier program, but he said that, you know, people are leaving the traditional church to keep their relationship with God. And that's not every church, but he was saying statistically people were concerned about the direction that their church was going in, and they wanted to stay intimate with the Lord. They wanted to have a personal relationship. They wanted to walk with him. And when you're looking at this power of God and the power to deliver, I mean, one example is, you know, we had a particular situation coming up that we didn't know anything about, but God knew everything about it. And in this, the next day, there was going to be an arrest take place at a school, like a public school. And one of the members of the church, that their son hung around some of these kids that were there. And this wasn't the demeanor of that particular son, but the ones he hung around, that was their demeanor. By the way, this could happen to you if you don't, bad company corrupts good character. But God loved his church enough that he said the night before he showed every detail of what was going to happen the next day and in a dream, in a night vision. And so a phone call was able to be made from one member to that particular parent, and they kept their boy home that day. And guess what? The arrest took place, and their son, that did not happen to him. And I believe he made the number one runner in the state of Florida.
Wow.
He's an athlete.
Yeah.
Good young man. But God, look, that's what God does. This is what he does. We had another situation, which nobody should be doing this, because the churches should be a holy place, a place that you don't just, you know, bring wolves into the presence of the sheep, you know, win them to the Lord. Anyway, so this one particular lady that had needed to grow in that area, she was coming to church one day, and she grabbed, you know, just some basic people that she had no relationship with, didn't know about, and she's going to bring them to church to save them instead of her, actually. And these guys didn't want to be saved. They didn't want anything to do with God, but they thought a great meal or something was going to happen. But the power of God was so present. One of them left, and the other one fell asleep.
Mm.
But the presence of God was there. And when you are asleep, I mean, Job 33 says God can deal with a prideful man in his sleep because you're not defending yourself at that point. And the power, I mean, nobody's doing this. Nobody's doing this at all. But all of a sudden, the words were spoken, not pointed to this particular man or anything, but these words were spoken, come out of him in Jesus' name. And from a sleeping standpoint, sleeping on the arm of a chair, he literally sits up straight. He looks straight up, and he was delivered at that one moment for the thing that's on his life.
Yeah.
This is what happened. And a couple of other people slid away from him at that moment. What was that? But he's like, God has come to set us free. Think about the God. This is the New Testament. Jesus is coming to Gennesaret. He goes there. This man has been chained up. He's been cutting himself. He's butt-naked on the hill out there, right? Everybody don't want anything to do with him. And the first thing he does is he breaks the chains, and he runs to meet Jesus, and he falls at his feet, and he worships him. And Jesus says, what's your name? And he says, our name is Legion, for we are many. He had like 1,000 demonic demons in his life.
Mm.
And Jesus just, boom, delivered him. Why? Because everything has to submit to the Creator, the authority that the Father gave the Son, and that we have in Jesus' name. And they left him. And so this man who was cutting himself and was a mess, you know, now he's going like, hey, I think I want to join the ministry. Can I go with you, Jesus? I'll work with you. And Jesus says, I'll tell you what. I trust the Holy Spirit enough, the Spirit of God enough, that you can just go. back to your own community.
That's right.
Please, Lord. you can just go tell them what happened. And it's amazing that God delivered this man. And it's so many people today I see, and I know we're going to go to break, they're being so tormented by things of that nature, spiritual things, things that are happening. And they just made friends with it, and they just don't understand the spiritual. If you talk about it, they get offended because they think that you're actually talking about them. And it's like, aren't you I'm tired of what you're being hindered
Come
with.
On.
Aren't you tired?
Don't own it. Don't own it. Let them go.
Who the Son sets free is free indeed. This is what God's called us to do in love, to let them know that he loves them. He has a plan for the life. He says, preach the kingdom of God is near. Why? Because when you show up, the kingdom and all the authority that's inside of you, you can deliver that to someone in the name of Jesus, and they can experience a healing, a deliverance, the power of God. They realize God is real, and they have an opportunity to do what? I want the kingdom of God to be in me. I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. Don't forget that you got to sign up for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. Why is it called that? Because I know God wants to awaken healing in your life, in your church, in your fellowship. Space is limited. You got to register to be able to come. Go to VFNTV.com and register. It's August the 28th
through the 30th.
And also you can get this manual called Paid in Full. All the details are there, including a movie called Paid in Full. Be prepared. Begin to do your homework before you even show up. So everything that you need to get, you'll get, and you'll go out from there being witnesses of the Lord. I think about Steve Kalaszewski when he was at the airport and he saw a man in a sling and his shoulder was injured. He needed surgery in his shoulder. He may have just had surgery, but it was just welded basically to his side. Yeah. And he prayed for him right there in the airport, right in the middle of the airport, right there, spoke healing into his shoulder in Jesus' name, and God healed him. As a matter of fact, take a look at it. His name is Michael.
Brian, could you do that a minute ago? What just happened? Prayer. What did you do to your shoulder? You tore your rotator cuff. Yeah. How did you do that? Football. You did it playing football. What did the doctor say? The doctor said that you had a tore rotator cuff. And what did you just tell me? That you couldn't move your arm? So what did we just do? We just prayed for your shoulder. Yeah. So show me what you couldn't do 5 minutes ago. And can you move your arm now? Oh my goodness, man. So who just healed your arm, dude?
Is that not awesome? That's Brian awesome. Got healed by the Lord. Who Praise got the glory? God. Jesus got the glory. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
You know, as you go, as you're living your life as a Christian, that's what'll set you. Politics are not gonna set you apart. You know, the sign outside of your door is not gonna set you apart. It's the sign inside your heart. Who are you following? Who is the Lord? And this is what the Lord wants to do. If everybody around you who's religious don't want to follow God for who he is, understand you're going to be held accountable by yourself. You're going to stand alone, no witnesses or no suspects before the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you have not seen the testimony of Casey Sweet, you know, God told her very specifically, and you can see that on VFNTV.com. You go to the Seal on the Torch. But he said very specifically in a night vision, right after we were talking about it, that, you know, why didn't you tell them? If you knew this was a reality, think about this. If you knew I would heal them, why didn't you go tell them? If you knew that I would forgive them, why wouldn't you tell them? If you knew I would deliver them, why wouldn't you tell them I would deliver them? And if you knew that, and she was on this train going to the throne room of God, basically, Jesus was calling everybody to an account on this train. And, you know, most weren't going to make it. And there was one particular train car in this dream that was, but it was just this is the 2 minute warning. And that's what God was talking about in this particular dream to her, that we are at a 2 minute warning. Maybe it's for America. Maybe it's for the present day church. I don't know, but I know that in America, I have the sense in my heart that we have a 2 minute warning, but we have 2 minutes.
That's right.
I mean, think about it. We got some time. And what we got to do is stop doing what we were doing that wasn't producing what the desired results that God wanted to happen. Yeah. Insanity is to keep doing what we've been doing and expect different results.
And God expects results. He expects fruit.
It's called fruit. It's called fruit.
He expects fruit. He's doing a fruit check.
Now understand this. If you think that fruit is your singing, like I sing for everyone. If you think fruit is miracles.
Yeah.
If you think fruit is miracles, if you think fruit is, you know, you're a prophet and you prophesy all the time. I'm a prophet. Anyway, so prophet. I'm for prophets. I'm not saying that. I'm just talking.
Go ahead. Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just somebody we were just talking about. And so, with that you look at Matthew chapter 7, and he says specifically, many people are going to come to me on that last day and say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons? Mm. And they list all these things. He lists all these things. This is Jesus talking. And he's going to say, I never knew you, which means that's not fruit. Fruit is after you told them about the Lord, after you spoke healing in their life and they were healed, you asked them the question, do you know who did that? Do you want to make him the Lord of your life? That's fruit. You're giving them opportunity to follow them. You're loving on them and being kind to them. As a matter of fact, take a look. This is Casey Sweet. She just had this dream, and it's a two-minute warning. I want to encourage you to shake yourself and realize you're going to answer by yourself before the Lord for your life and what you did with this scripture, this word of God, this living word that he says, and he's sending you out to be his disciple, to make disciples. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I want to tell you about a dream that I believe God gave me. I was sitting in a very dark room with me and one other person. I'm not sure who that person was, but I think I knew them. I was sitting there, and I knew that there was going to be a bomb that was about to go off, and I had 2 minutes. I didn't see the bomb, but I knew that it was there for some reason, and so I had 2 minutes, and I was just waiting. And I started praying and silently in my head, and all of a sudden the bomb went off. And I woke up in my dream. I woke up on a train full of people, cars. We were in a car full of people. There was people everywhere. And Jesus was standing at the very front of this car. And he was telling everyone, he was asking, he said, who of you knew me? Who of you accepted me and actually knew me while you were alive? And everyone was looking at him like, why does that matter? Who are you? Why did we need to know you? And I said, well, I did. And I'm like the only one that said so. And he said, well, come with me. So I go up to the front of the car, and we go into the next car on the train. And he looks at me, and he's got these papers in front of him that have some things on them, and he looks at me and he says, so why didn't you tell the person next to you when you were about to die about me? And I just started crying. You know, I was just like, I don't know. I didn't even cross my mind to tell them about you. And just filled with regret and feeling like I could have done something more. And he went on, had a list of things that, just opportunities that I had missed in my life to tell people about him and to do good. And at the end of it, Jesus was like, I still love you and you are still welcome here. And he said, I just wanted you to realize what you could have done. And so, he hugged me and he welcomes me into this train car now full of believers. And I sit down in my seat and I'm just sitting there and still crying from, feeling like I could have done better. But the person in front of me turns around and I realize I knew them. And I was like, wow, what are you doing here? I was like, I'm so proud you're here. And he said, I want to thank you. And I was like, for what? And he said, you're the reason I'm here. I barely even talked to you. This is a guy from high school. And I said, I barely even talked to you. He said, no, you are the reason I'm here. You told me about Jesus, and you showed me what it meant to follow him. And I was just blown away. Couldn't believe that someone I barely even knew, that I barely even talked to, was there because of me. I just couldn't believe it. And I finally woke up, and I was crying, and full of tears of joy and tears of sorrow and regret of things that I've in my past that I have not taken, that I've taken for granted and I haven't done for Jesus. And I believe that in this dream he was trying to show me the time is coming. There's we only have 2 minutes left, you know. It's coming very quickly, and we need to take our time and take advantage of the people that are around us and the opportunities that we have to share the gospel and to let people know that that train is coming, that people sitting in that car can say, yes, I accepted you and I knew you, and they can go to the next car. And that's my dream, and that's what I wanted to share.
Notice that the Lord said, why didn't you tell them? He didn't say, why didn't you bring somebody to that building and have that man who's carrying a huge load do all your work and tell him? He's training you up. She's training you up to do the works of service.
Works of service.
He said to her, why didn't you tell them? And we've got to ask ourselves, we've got 2 minutes. And some people may say, because I didn't want them to know about this. It's powerless. It's lifeless. It's religious. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm only here because I feel like I have to be here. But then you start seeing the true gospel. You start seeing the love of God, and he desires to heal people and set people free. Even people that turn their backs on him, he still heals them. Mm. You think about the rich young ruler. He's telling the rich young ruler when he asks the Lord this question. He says, what do I need to do to be saved? And he's talking to God. He's talking to Emmanuel. He's talking to Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus says, you need to do this. You need to do that. He's listing off the Ten Commandments. And he goes, I've done all that, you know. And Jesus said, one more thing. One more thing. And he says, give everything that you have, and this is specifically to him, to the poor, and follow me. And the man got really sad and downcast, and he walked away from God. But the Word of God says, but Jesus still loved them. Hmm. Jesus is in love with you. I mean, think about that. He loves your enemies. He forgives them quicker than you do. He is just so, he knows that we're harassed and helpless if we don't have a shepherd. He knows that he sees what's going on in all the spiritual realm, and he sees how we're being tattered and torn, and spirits of infirmity and sickness and all this stuff coming against us. But he said that I came to be able to set the captive free. He came to heal the brokenhearted. Listen, you don't have to go to therapy. You need to go to God. God will heal your heart. It'll begin with forgiveness. It'll begin with ownership. I think about John G. Lake, and we got to go to break. But I want to talk about John G. Lake and how that some people got halfway healed because they would not let go of things in their life. And you know, it's time for us to just be totally healed inside and out and go tell everyone that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life, and he wants to heal you and deliver you, and he wants to make you his son. God is into you. I mean, he's into you. He really is. And he's so into you that he wants to live inside of you. He wants you to receive him as the Lord of your life. He wants to sit on the throne of your heart, and he wants to commune with you and just walk together the way Adam and God walked together in the garden. He wants to spend eternity with you, and he wants you to know who he is. And one thing, how he demonstrated that by when he was walking in his ministry on the face of the earth for 3 years, he demonstrated the heart of God. He did nothing and said nothing unless the Father told him to do it or said for him to do it, and that's how he did it. So he was in right relationship with the Father, and whatever the Father wanted done, you know, Jesus did it. And some people say, well, you know, he was God. And it's like, that's the reason why he did that. And it's like, well, actually what he did was, you know, that he, you know, why can Jesus do that and we can't do that? Jesus said, greater things will you do than I've been doing, because I'm going to go be with the Father. He was specifically saying that, you know, a lot of people say, well, the reason why Jesus did that is because he was God. So then it is God's will then. If Jesus was God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, and he's walking on the face of the earth and he's healing everybody, and he's doing, you can look at it the other way, he's doing everything that the Father's telling him to do, whichever way you want to look at that, guess what? Either way, God wanted to heal everybody.
That's right.
So that's important, because you may have been told something that's not true, and you're locking into something that's keeping you bound or keeping you from going, setting others free so they can actually know this God, that he's the God of power and deliverance, and not power like, you know, weird, freaky stuff that you've seen in these, you know, these, this beating on folks or whatever crazy things that have happened in the past. You know, people got to do whatever they do that stirs their faith. But the reality is it just takes faith in the name of Jesus. And that's it.
That's it.
And it's so, like I said, it's so powerful that even a non-believer can do it, according to Matthew chapter 7.
Jesus paid for it all. That's the whole thing here, that Jesus, when he died on the cross in Isaiah 53, verse 4, you know, he took up our sins. He bore on his body. And so Jesus paid not only for our salvation, but he paid, that word in the Greek is the whole saving of our entire body, the healing of our whole, you know, our complete self, inner healing, physical healing. And we want to be able to appropriate that healing to our own lives and to the lives of others and say, just be healed.
Well, I think about this. You're right. I think about Paul writing to Timothy. You know, Paul's writing a letter to Timothy. He says, this is how it's going to be in the last days. He says, let me tell you, son, this is a spiritual son, right? That in the last days, people are going to be lovers of money and greedy and, you know, all this stuff. But in addition to all that evil, they're actually going to deny the power. They're going to deny the ability of God to heal and desire of God to heal. They're going to deny the power of God to deliver you.
Although they have a form of godliness.
But they'll deny the power. And how many people today would just freak out because they're like, you're going to take my form away from me?
Yeah.
This is when this song happens. This is when, you know, this is when we do this, and this is when the Easter play comes in. It's like, wouldn't you just want God to be God and to be family? And I think the church will still stay together. You know, I think, you know, God wants the church to be together. But, you know, if people rather have form of godliness over godliness, if they rather have a form of religion other than relationship, where they rather have words than power, you got to make up your mind, who are you with, you know? You might want to just tell them what God says in his word, show this program to them, maybe come to the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast if you can, you know, and we may be streaming it for all those that are watching around the nation that, you know, make sure you sign up. You know, we'll figure out a way to do that because space
August
is limited.
Through the 30th.
Yes. But know this, that God is going to hold us personally accountable, just like Casey Sweet was sitting there on that train and he called her out by herself and brought her forward and asked her the question, why didn't you tell them? How many people, John, they say, statistics say that profess to be Christians will not lead one person to the Lord in their entire life?
I believe it's 95%.
95%, some statistics say, of people who profess to be a Christian don't lead one person to the Lord. Hmm. I mean, you think about when Casey was on that train. When you look back, God showed her there was somebody who led the Lord on this train, and she wasn't even aware of it. And she's like, oh, so glad. Whatever, I only want it dead. You think about that. So fruit really is telling people in a loving way about a loving God who has the power to heal, deliver, and set free, but most of all, to take our lives when we leave this life, to live with him forever. Mm. And he wants us in the family forever. I mean, he defines us as, you know, Jesus is his son. We're all in the family. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're sons and daughters of God. When Jesus said, I was a son of God, why the Pharisees were so upset? Because that put him in equality with God. In other words, that he has the authority of the Father. In other words, if you are a son, it's amazing. You know, you can watch a son or a daughter who is in a family. They're just so confident about who they are. They operate sometimes in familiarity, not realizing the only reason you have that kind of authority is because you're a son or you're a daughter. Mm-hmm. And with God, you know, when you say that you're a son of God or a daughter of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, that you're an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You've been seated with Jesus Christ in the heavenly realm, and every authority that the Lord, our Father God, gave Jesus Christ, Jesus gave it to us. And in his name, we go and we do exactly what he did. And the biggest thing that he was doing was saying, listen, you know, you're gonna need to repent. Hmm. You know, he's done all these miracles. He's done, you know, healings. He's raised the dead. And we've seen people raised from the dead. I meant close to the dead. I was asked to go do a funeral for someone who was expected to die in the morning. I was there talking with his wife. He was in hospice. He was in a coma. He was good as just turning the stuff off. And I did all the information and all, you know, built the relationships, and it was just a real sweet lady. It was a difficult time for her. And then finally I said, listen, this is not going to offend you. Can I pray? I want to be able to speak life over him, because everything was just death, right?
Yeah.
And so I just said, life in Jesus' name. I just spoke life in him, in Jesus' name. Next thing you know, I get a phone call. That the funeral's off. He's sitting up laughing and talking about going on a fishing trip. I mean, think how much glory God gets.
Wow.
When we just do what he says, you know, he has that power to be able to do that in his name. And it's so much better than a religious argument. Yeah, I'm not smart enough to have a religious argument. And I mean, they're probably kind of repulsive anyway. But it's just the love of God. And so Jesus, they're following Jesus because of what Jesus did for them. But all of a sudden, he turns around to this large crowd and he says, okay, all right. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. Mm. He's talking about, you know, commit yourself to me and my ways. He said, you can have no part of me. What does that mean? All these people who have been fed by the miracles, that have been healed by the miracles, all he still brought them to a point of a time to saying, do you want me now? When you saw how good I am to you and how much I love you and how I'll take care of you, are you willing to totally commit to our relationship? And many people left at that particular time, but they still were healed. They still were delivered, and they still were full of the food that he fed them.
Yeah.
God wants that. At least they'll know on that judgment seat that they'll know that he was good. And he actually forgave me. He fed me. He delivered me. I want to pray for you right now. I just want to believe healing, that you would awakening healing in your life. I want to encourage you to register. Go to VFNTV.com and register for the Awakening Healing on the Gulf Coast. We want to be able to sow this in your faith, to stir you up in the Lord. Father God, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you that you've paid the price in full. We want you, Lord, to get what you paid for. Lord, I want my life to be a life that's pleasing to you, that every moment I'm thinking about, man, I want Jesus to get everything that he paid for. He gave his life not only for salvation, but for healing, for deliverance, for emotional healing, for physical healing. Father God, and I just pray for an awakening to happen in your church, Father God, across the nation and across the Gulf Coast, God, for the glory zone. Father God, we just ask you for your glory to manifest in all the marketplaces and the business places and inside the church family, everywhere we can imagine, Lord. The glory of the Lord would just be stirred, and you would get so much glory from it taking place, Father God, and many would know you and make you the Lord of their life. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.